Hey everybody, it's Rider Club Radio, the internet's number one podcast about Kamen Rider. Probably.
Right? I kept a straight face during all that. It was a Herculean task. I'm trying to stifle a chuckle right now. It's pretty tough.
I'm your host, Jeff.
And I'm Diane, and this is this week we're going to talk about Kamen Rider X8 episode, what was
Excuse me, Diane.
What?
What have you done with Liam?
You said last week, you're like, oh, you say I'm Liam as usual, like you're going to say a different name. So I decided this week I was going to mix it up and say a different name. I'm Diane now.
Guess what? I didn't watch Fize.
Don't fucking tell, don't you fucking ever do that again.
You thought I was going to watch Fize, but then I mixed it up and I didn't watch.
Are you serious?
No, Liam,
okay.
Calm down. Whether your fucking blood pressure goes through the roof every time I say that.
My doctor told me to tell you not to ever tell me you didn't watch Fize, ever.
Alright. This week we watched Kamen Rider X8 episode 20, and for some reason still Q-Ranger episode 3.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the week when one of us drops it, and then I can drop it.
I wonder who you're waiting for to drop it.
Yeah, I'm waiting for Tomaz to stop watching so I can stop.
Tomaz isn't watching it at all, as
Is
far
he?
As I know, so you're free.
Oh, yeah, thank God. I can start. Start not watching.
Tell us about what happened on X8.
Okay, so... Kamen Rider X8, episode 20. So they go to the park. There's an amusement park. And Snipe and Spencer's gifts go to the park. And Snipe doesn't like ghosts. He can't handle the horror.
What a hilarious fucking scene.
Snipe was such a serious villain. He can't handle ghosts, and they meet another guy who also can't handle ghosts. And he can't handle any scary rides or any scariness at all. And he's just such a wuss. And it turns out he's sick with the Bugster virus, so everyone shows up, as everyone likes to do in X-Aid. They all show up. And he's got the Bugster virus, but he's got a date coming up. And he's like, oh shit, I have to be good at riding these rides. I gotta show her how manly I am. I can take these roller coasters. So he's all worried about that, and he gets so stressed out that he turns into a jet monster. Turns into a jet pirate monster.
You know, it's happened to all of us at least once. You know, on test days.
Yeah, it overtakes you, and you turn into a bugster. There's a big fight. There's a big X-Aid fight. I've dubbed the term X-Aid fight, where everyone fights, and there's an explosion, and then everyone fucks off. Except Brave fights Parrot, who kicks his ass and then fucks off, and then Snipe...
Brave is kicking Parrot's ass.
Mm.
And then he has, like, an onset bout of Japan disease.
Well, Parrot's got brain... He's almost gonna punch him. He's got him on the ropes.
Well, that's after he had the outbreak of the disease.
Okay, okay. He's
being, like, overtaxed by using a level 50.
He can't
handle
level
50. For some reason, it only affects him that way. Nobody else.
Yeah. I think Snipe's been doing it for a long time. Parrot's a bugster. No one else has used level 50 yet.
No.
That's that. That's my hypothesis. So, fucking Brain... What's his name? Hero
Brain.
Breaks down. No. Hero breaks down.
That's two shows ago.
I thought that Brave Brain, I got him mixed up in my head. So much Toku.
Yeah.
He breaks down because he's so sick of using level 50. It's too many levels for him. And Snipe takes him back to the abandoned hospital that still has electricity and working equipment. And he patches him back together and he says, give me your Gashat, dude. But Hero says, I can't just give you my Gashat. And Snipe has a touching little moment where he's like, look, I'm fucked up already. I'm expendable. I don't want you to get fucked up like I got fucked up from using the Proto Gashat too much, so just give it to me and let me handle it. That's why I want to be the only rider. Brave says, okay.
Also, since when was he fucked up from using the Proto Gashat too much? That seems to be introduced in this episode, but it's talked about like it's already been talked about before.
I'm going to go ahead and guess that the first Blu-ray box set came out this week that included the Snipe side story that probably explains this. This week or last week. That's what
Man,
I'm
it'd
guessing.
It'd be real cool if we could see that.
Yeah, wouldn't that be great? Yeah. I bet TV Nihon's going to have it. That's
Probably.
My prediction. So, meanwhile, Emu and Poppy, they're like, listen, they have the patient at the pit, and Emu's like, dude, it's okay. I mean, you don't have to be this big man, this big manly man. And Asuna jumps up on the bed, and she's like, you fucking puss! Get on those rides! So they all go to the amusement park, and they ride all day.
You sound like you were amused by Poppy.
You know what? I was amused by Asuna. in that little scene.
You know,
I was amused by her.
As people are so fond of pointing out, Asuna isn't the real character. Poppy is.
Yeah, sorry. Asuna's the fucking mask, just like Bruce Wayne. She's actually Batman. So they go to the amusement park and they ride rides all day and
Side note already before we even get through this. Fuck the end of Kill Bill 2 where Bill starts talking about how Superman isn't Clark Kent and shit. Read a comic book, Bill.
It sounds awesome if you've never picked up a Superman comic before and then you read a Superman comic and you're like, wait a minute, that's not right at all, actually.
That's literally the exact opposite of how it is.
He was raised as Clark Kent from a baby.
Oh, well.
Anyways.
Fuck you, Bill. I'm glad you're dead. Spoilers!
Wow, he died from autoerotic asphyxiation. Didn't think I was ever going to make a joke about that on this podcast.
You've done it before.
Have I made
it? We have made a joke about that before.
Have we?
Yes.
Thank you, archivist Jeff, for remembering. Like, it's like we made, like, episode 30, and Jeff was like, I'm going to remember this shit for the rest of my goddamn life.
On my deathbed, I'll be like, remember that time Liam made that joke about autoerotic asphyxiation?
Jesus Christ.
And my grandchildren are going to be like, Grandpa has dementia.
Grandpa, what's a podcast?
Grandpa, what's autoerotic asphyxiation?
Yeah, your little 8-year-old. Why are you telling your little 6-year-old Jeff the Thirds about this?
Fucking my grandchildren knows what all the sexual stuff is. They've just phased out autoerotic asphyxiation. They choking yourself while beating it. They phased it away.
There we go. Everyone under
17.
Now they
have VR beating it.
VR. We're already there.
Well,
we got. You can have sex with Miku Hatsune like right now if you want. If you got like $400.
Well, I guess this podcast is over.
There's no reason to do anything else. Let me start that over. At least maybe I'll cut that out.
I don't want to have sex with Miku Hatsune.
Okay. I got an interesting fact about those weird AI celebrities later on.
No, tell us now. Who cares about what happened on the shows we're supposed to be talking about?
Okay, let's go on a 3-hour aside. I found out, so we know about like virtual idols like Miku and all that game.
Yeah, and all the like other Mikus.
Yeah, Miku and all of her Mikus. I discovered this week there are virtual YouTubers too. Have you seen Kizuna Ai?
No.
She's literally a fake a lady does her voice and plays video games, but like she plays this avatar, this supposedly AI anime girl called Kizuna Ai, and she plays super hot and all these games. She always introduces herself as like, sup, I'm the virtual YouTuber Kizuna Ai. You haven't heard of this?
We're really in the future now.
It exploded this week. It just blew up. Sure, her channel just blew up, I mean.
Jesus Christ. This is the real future where like even YouTubers are being replaced by robots.
Check out those videos. We'll have it down in the blog post.
No, we won't.
No, we're not. We're not going to have that then. Just Google it. Just Googling.
Don't check that out. All right, where were we in X?
Don't Google it either. Okay, so, right, they're riding on all the rides. The new guy, the sick guy, can't take the rides. And Emu, surprisingly, can't really take most of the rides either. They're riding, and they're both like, ugh, on a bench. Like, they're tired. They're worn out. Poppy is obviously made of boundless energy, so she can go on all the rides.
I'm not much for rides either.
Yeah, well, I really enjoy them. I was scared when I was a kid, but...
Like, I'm not scared. I never thought I'd got motion sickness, and I don't get motion sickness when I'm driving or riding in a car, even when it's going illegal speeds or ludicrous speeds.
Ludicrous, leaving plaid in your wake, yeah.
But for some reason, when I'm on a roller coaster, like, I get all types of queasy.
That's really weird.
Yeah. I don't know.
I've been on the scariest ride ever, which is the Tower of Terror Disney World. You're put in a little amphitheater on rails, and then they just drop you up and down while showing you a view of the park, so you see exactly how fucked you are if it breaks. And it's really scary. But I've never gotten sick riding.
I've never actually vomited.
Okay.
I will say that.
Okay.
But the thing is, I've only been on like a handful like, my friends took me to some park and put me on, like, one of the... It's, like, rated the twistiest, fastest roller coaster
on Earth. The twistiest roller coaster on Earth, okay.
And it was the first one I'd ever been on.
Wow.
And I don't know why they thought that was a good idea. But that was literally the worst.
Sounds
and I've
like
gotten
it.
Queasy every time I've ever been on one since.
Jesus Christ.
So, okay, they ride the roller coasters and
they ride the roller
Poppy
coasters.
Loves it and Emu doesn't like it and Scared Guy also does not like it.
Scared Guy can't handle it and two women walk by and make fun of him. They're like, dude, look at this guy. He can't handle a Ferris wheel, which honestly is pretty pathetic.
That's pretty fucking bad, yeah.
So they're like, wow, this guy can't even handle a Ferris wheel, and that stresses him out so much that he turns back into the Bugster. Taiga appears, he turns into Bang Bang Simulation, he kicks everyone's ass, and in the meantime, Emu, who is still scared to transform because he doesn't want to get taken over by the Bugster, he's you know, off on the side like, I can't do it. And Taiga says, Emu, if you're not going to be a doctor, then just give me all your gashats already. And Emu says, you know what, that guy's got a point, I should probably fight. So he fights, and he says, from now on, I'm not going to worry. I'm just going to fight. I'm a doctor. That's what I do. Doctors fight, right? That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to fight. And that's the end of the episode. So, Jeff, what did you think of Kamen Rider X8 episode 20?
I want to lead off by saying, wouldn't it have been great if the plotline of Emu being, like, afraid of what he could become would, like, have lasted longer than 3/4 of an episode?
Yep.
Wouldn't it have been great if the plot of Emu being taken over by his Bugster would have lasted longer than 3/4 of an episode?
Yep.
This is setting a bad precedent.
It's fast. I can't say I hate it, but it is kind of fast.
It wasn't terrible.
Yeah.
It wasn't terrible or anything. Like, I like this episode pretty well. I think it was an action-packed, fun episode that had, towards the end, a nice little hint of Level X.
Level X, Dan mentions. Dangerous Dan, you know, the dangerous zombie's always been level 10, but like Roman numeral with an X. He comes out this episode and says, oh, it's 10, but it's also X. It's an unknown variable. It can level up, I imagine, is what he means. So there's a hint.
That makes me feel like Excite Subs is maybe a little sorry about their choice with subbing, making every one of the 10 things an X.
From the start. We were calling it X when we first saw it, but then it was like, no, it's 10. He says 10. So is it 10 or is it X? And now Dan's saying, no, it's both. So
it's
I guess
both,
everyone's...
motherfuckers.
Everyone's right and everyone's wrong.
Well, at least when it comes to Dangerous Zombie.
Yeah, it's true. I liked this episode. I liked it. There was a bit in the middle that reminded me a little of an old Kamen Rider, like an early Heisei episode, which is the part where they're riding roller coasters.
Oh, when they were doing something that was somewhat unrelated to being a rider?
If it wasn't for the Bugster, it would have just been like, I have to prepare for this date, and they ride roller coasters all day. And if this was like an episode of Fize, to say the dirty word, it would be like Keitaro, who's like, I gotta go on a date with that Orphanok girl, but I need to master the rides, so they go
Osada
on rides all day. What?
Osada?
Is it Osada? I thought Osada was Mari. I thought Mari's last name was Osada. I think in this last batch of episodes, someone at the beauty parlor calls her Osada. I think.
That might be true.
I don't know.
I think it might be Osada Mari.
I think so. Anyways, he would be like, I gotta go on a date with the Orphanok girl to this thing, and they'd go on rides all day, and Takumi would be like, this is dumb, and Kusaka would go with them because he wants to get them to like him or something. It felt, just for like a 2-minute sequence, like this is kind of fun. It's almost like they have like lives and do things. If this wasn't for the sole purpose of defeating a Bugster, I would feel like an older Kamen Rider episode.
Yeah, I could see that.
I appreciated that. I liked that little sequence.
Mari's last name is Sonata.
It is Sonata.
I called Osada that last episode.
So wait, is her name Osada, the Orphanok girl?
Yeah, Osada is the Crane Orphanok.
Okay, Osada, Sonata. That's incredibly confusing.
Yeah, Osada and Mari.
Okay. Okay, Osada.
Yeah, it would have been cool if it was completely unrelated, but watching, I will say that watching Fize makes me long for the days when fight scenes weren't the absolute focus of everything. Because the show itself is shot very plain. Like, it has, like, a really cool little camera trick, anyway, with the, like, ghost show thing at the beginning. Like, where everything's dark and there's, like, underlighting during some of the parts. And that was cleverly shot. It wasn't funny.
No.
But for the most part, everything out of suit is shot, like, wide and flat. Or in on twos.
It's a very, very soap opera... three-quarter angles, yeah.
It's, like, shot, reverse shot all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And, but the fight scenes are, like, fucking phenomenally shot. Like, cameras swinging around all over the fucking place, like, full-body shots, close-ups on the action, all this type of shit. And one thing I appreciated in Fize is that they interrupt fight scenes sometimes with, like, quick shots of other things to give you, like, a juxtaposition.
Yeah, it's some, like, fights that were so much less important in early Rider shows that sometimes it felt like they were squeezing one in per episode as an obligation. And especially in Kuga, where they're like, we have all this shit we want to do. Or in Agito, too, where, like, there's a story we want to tell. Oh, we gotta have a fight scene. And that's fine if you gotta squeeze in one. I like that there's more to the plot. Modern Rider shows, X-Aid included, don't have as much to the plot. It's all about the fight scenes. That's why we have these X-Aid fights.
It's like, you have one or two scenes for plot that are required, and everything else is just fight scenes.
Yeah, and that's why X-Aid has this issue that we keep seeing, where it's like, here's a fight, fucking everyone's involved, and then it explodes and everyone leaves. And usually, thank God today there was kind of a consequence, but a lot of the time there's no consequence. It's just an introduction to the monster, and then he fucks off.
Like, that's nothing new in Rider, but it feels more constant the later in Heisei we're getting.
Yeah. Like, just consequenceless fight scenes. Ghost was nothing but consequenceless fight scenes.
Yeah, the entire series.
Inconsequential, rather, is the word I'm looking for. But yeah, like, every fucking scene in the show was an inconsequential fight scene.
And I like X-Aid, but we're on, like, episode 20 now, and I don't think I would recommend it as, like, a first series.
No, definitely not.
It's fun, but it's kind of fluffy. It's kind of light. Not a whole lot seems to happen. Not, like, in tone. I mean, like, weight-wise, with, like, story and plot and progression. Not a whole lot seems to have happened.
Yeah, it's
in
it's
20
not,
episodes.
It's not irritatingly little, like, with Ghost, but it's...
Yeah.
It's,
there's progression, but it's not... It's, like, for how fast everything seemed to be moving to begin with, there's not a whole lot of progression.
The characters haven't developed as much as I thought they would have, is
no.
What really bugs me. Like, Brave is still in the same place where he started. Snipe had one thing today, but I kind of hate what they've been doing with Snipe, where he's just a joke now, and he never got that chance to shine as a real villain. He's just kind of he's some shitter who lives with a teenage girl.
Yeah, and it's entirely the fault of Spencer's gifts.
Yep.
As to why his character progression is completely stunted. Like, he still could have been a villain. He could have just, you know, went off the deep end and decided, you know what, I don't fucking care anymore. I'm gonna, like, work with the bad guys even.
Mm-hmm.
Who fucking knows what would have happened if she hadn't stepped in. But now he is a joke.
He has a comedy sidekick.
That's silly. It's unnecessary.
It's silly. It's very silly. And it's like, even this episode, oh, he's afraid of ghosts. I get it, it's like humanizing, but he's not a fucking villain anymore. What is he? He's just some...
Well, he's an anti-hero.
But it's not... He's a comedy relief anti-hero, it's like, almost.
When he's fighting and stuff, he's not comic relief.
Yeah, that's true.
He's only comic relief during the off scenes, which everyone except Brave and Dan have been comic relief at some point.
Yeah. That really is frustrating, is his sort of conflicting character between fight scenes and off scenes. Sucks, dude.
Yeah.
What'd you think of, on a more superficial note, what'd you think of Bang Bang Simulation? The suit, the powers, etc.
I think Bang Bang Simulation is really cool.
Yep.
I think it's a neat-ass fucking-looking suit. I love the hat. I love the captain's hat.
And it was exactly as I predicted. He doesn't move around at all. He just sits there and shoots shit.
It's a simulation game. You don't move in a sim game.
Well, maybe you gotta change rooms.
The one thing I didn't particularly care for is how dark the eyes are. Like, the iris color in the eyes are so dark that you can barely see them from afar.
I did not even notice that.
That bugs me a little bit. Also, they probably should have cleaned the visor a little bit. It looks dirty as shit.
Was it dirty?
Yeah. The suit itself is amazing. I love it.
I think it looks awesome. Like
I said, I really, really love the hat.
Yeah.
More riders should have hats.
Yeah, really. Not enough riders have hats as part of their outfit. Skull?
He has a regular ass hat and has nothing to do with his suit.
Yeah, he has an actual hat over his suit. I don't know.
Which works somehow. It shouldn't, but it does. Maybe because he's just so cool.
I guess so. I haven't seen I haven't seen him yet.
Your boy Brave has a hat on his DJ gun.
Yeah, it's true. DJ he's got a little cap on his DJ suit and on his family stadium suit,
which looks silly.
It's funny. I like it. I like the DJ outfit.
Overall, this episode was all right.
I like it less now that I've talked about. Now I've like talked through with you.
That's how everything works with me. If you talk to me about anything, you'll come out of it liking less.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. You made me notice all the shit that I didn't like about it. But
I am a huge fucking downer.
I'm gonna say it was all right. I did enjoy it, and like I said, I got a little glimpse of early Heisei in the roller coaster scene. But X8's flaws are becoming more glaring, and the sort of superficiality of the whole production is becoming more glaring. And I know, wonder of wonders, Kamen Rider is superficial. It's made to sell toys, but like the veil is coming off. Yeah,
it doesn't have to be. It
doesn't
have
to be.
How many episodes in a row now have I said that this episode of X8 was all right?
That's a few in a row we've got.
Yeah, I would like something big to happen.
I missed the beginning when it was a little more mysterious and then shit was going down. Shit doesn't go down anymore.
No. The Bugsters seem like they had a plan.
Dan's plan hasn't moved in a long time. I guess there's this artificial roadblock they put in front of him where he has to now beat the fucking 20 Bugsters to get the data for Kamen Rider Chronicle. So it's the writers coming out and telling you like, hey, yeah, this is going to be, we're going to stall for a little bit.
You know what's weird is that X8 has these like fight scenes that just sort of happen, mm-hmm. like between Brave and Parod. Like, it seems like Parod shouldn't have even transformed because Emu didn't, right?
Well, Parod's always gonna be there.
But, like, all these fights that just sort of happen because it's, like, well, we need a fight scene. We want to do a cool fight scene.
Yeah.
What would it be like if this guy fought this guy? Let's do it. But there is a genuine setup for a fight scene right at the end where Parod shows up and just starts fucking flinging shit verbally at Dan. And Dan's like, ooh, you make me so mad, Parod, but I'm not going to fight you for some reason. We only got like 3 minutes left, so...
Parod, you beat the holy shit out of me, and now you show up at my abandoned bowling alley talking shit about my favorite video game that doesn't exist yet. But no, I'm not going to do anything. I guess because he's a measly level 10.
He's a level X.
He's a level X. That could be any level behind there. He could be level a million.
Xu.
Xu.
He could be anything. He could even be level 10.
He could be anything he wants to be. He could be a doctor. He could be the president.
Oh yeah, somebody wrote in once. I think we talked about it on the air, but like, the guy that plays Dan actually went to medical school.
Did he?
Yeah, he's the only one that has any medical background.
Is the guy that doesn't play a doctor.
Isn't a doctor.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
Dan is a very enjoyable villain, though.
I love him. He's
especially
probably my
because
favorite.
He's so fucking petty.
Yeah, he's so prideful. He's probably my favorite actor, at least involved in the production, is Dan. He's so delightful.
He is my favorite.
He's fucking evil, and he loves it.
God, I love it when he's telling Emu that he's the cause of the Bugsters, like he's patient zero. He's like, it was you, Emu!
He's laughing. He's enjoying it so much. Even Parod is holding him by the scruff of his neck, like, what the fuck? And Dan's like laughing like a fucking moron.
He's
great.
Just a giant, petty asshole, and I love it.
He hams it up. I love him.
He's chewing the scenery.
Yeah, that's what he's doing.
But enough of X8.
Enough of X8. This week was okay.
What's next?
What's next, Saeed? I got news.
What happened? I can't believe you just fucking said that. That was some real non-mitty right there.
You contemplated moving on. You're like, I could just let it go. No.
I was having a real good time in this podcast, and then you said that shit, and then the good times were over.
Yeah, everyone listening, you can leave now. It's going to be bad from here on.
What happened in the news? Okay, yeah, it's so going to be bad story, from now on, yeah.
Top story tonight. The Kamen Rider movie coming up, Super Superhero Wars, is going to have a spin-off thingy, a little spin-off miniseries, called Kamen Sentai Go Rider, featuring a bunch. Yeah, it's got Baron, Marika, Blade, another Agito, fan favorite, and Laser.
Everybody loves him.
A bunch of riders who all have one thing in common, and they all come back to form this Kamen Rider Sentai team. I don't know what the fuck the story is.
Yeah, they have one glaring thing in common with each other that we can't really say.
They're all Kamen Riders. So they form this Sentai team together. And that's the story. I don't know shit about what's going on, but you can see a trailer.
They form a Sentai team together where they're all Kamen Rider 1, but they have, like, Go Rangers capes and colors. And they look amazing.
It's really hilarious looking. I love their outfits.
Dude, they look amazing. I want to get, like, four friends together and go as Go Rider.
It's like
one Halloween.
If the Shocker Riders were good, they'd be Go Rider.
They look so cool.
They're fantastic. And so you can see a trailer for that. It's really weird. And also, there was a scan that came out. And apparently in this Super Superhero Wars movie, Great Leader the Third is coming. I don't remember who the second one was. The first one dies at the end of Stronger. And then I think the one in Skyrider is called, they call him like Great Boss or something. I don't think that's the actual one. But there was a second Great Leader. And then now there's Great Leader the Third?
Well, Great Leader 2, it's a spoiler.
Is it Decade?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. He was the leader.
He was Great Leader for a while.
Neo Die Shocker or something. I guess it was him. But anyways, it's Great Leader 3 is coming back, and he can turn into a weird Dracula creature. So,
at least he doesn't turn into a rock monster.
Hey, don't you diss Great Leader.
He is the greatest. It's
name. Right there. Yeah, it's right there in the name. I like that after all the shit, after seven riders, not seven seasons, but seven riders going through, Great Leader finally reveals his true form, and he's like a brain parasite from space. That's nuts. All this Kamen Rider shit started because this brain parasite set its sights on Earth.
Well, in Spirits, he turns out to be like an ancient fucking god, like he's the evil god of Japanese mythology.
Really?
Or something
That's
like
better.
That. His real name is Judo.
That's much better. I like that explanation
and
more.
He becomes a gold Zekros.
Wait, how do they reconcile that with the end of Stronger where he's dead? Does he just come back again?
He just comes back.
He just comes back just like every
year. You
can't
fucking kill him.
That's true. Just like every year he's back.
I had a friend who was talking to me about Go Rider, and he, I don't know, it would be a spoiler to say this part as well, shit.
Look, we already
know.
What?
Everybody knows by now in V3 that Yuki Joji dies,
yes,
right?
Everybody fucking knows that Rider Man gets nuked, but he doesn't actually die, yeah.
And my friend was like, wouldn't it be great if Rider Man was like the sixth rider in Go Rider? And I was like, I don't think they're going to be able to do that. And he's like, why? Because he's really old? and I was like, no, he's dead as fuck,
dude. He's so old that he died.
He died when he was fucking 39 years old.
That sucks. Yeah. They should bring Stronger back for this movie. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, let's bring him back. He's totally alive, right?
Or Tackle.
Right?
Yeah. He's still kicking. I'm sorry.
You fucker.
I'm sorry.
How dare you? I definitely didn't take part in that. That was all you, you piece of shit.
Let's take bets. Who's the next rider? What's gonna die?
Super One?
I guess
some lady is going to stab him.
It's gonna be, yeah, she's gonna visit him, and she's gonna give him a cake, and it's gonna be laced with, I don't know, it's gonna have Bandai toys in it, and he's gonna eat them.
And the fucking lead paint will kill him? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I guess. I guess that's it.
All right, what's the next news?
Die the same way Napoleon did. Okay, so there's a new trailer for Kamen Rider Snipe, the Kamen Rider Snipe thing. And that was the reason why I thought, okay, maybe it comes out this week, because Snipe had a big part this week that hinted at his dark past. And this trailer also shows him using the proto Bang Bang Shooting Gashat. And I believe someone said on Twitter that the reason why he's got skunk hair might have something to do with the proto Gashat. Did you say that? Other people have said it too.
Yeah, it wasn't my original thought, but I said it to you on this podcast.
Okay. Alright, I forget a lot of the stuff that you say to me.
It's probably for the best.
I imagine it, just like with Dan, it puts like a huge strain on your body and fucks you up.
I thought you were talking about listening to me.
Just like with Dan, I don't hear anything either of you say. You're basically him.
I'd be Dan. I'm fine.
So check out that Snipe trailer. It has, briefly at the very end, Dangerous Zombie shows up. I imagine there's like a modern segment and a flashback segment. Like, it's flashbacks.
Yeah, it'd be weird if Snipe was super freaked out when he saw Dangerous Zombie, if Dangerous Zombie already existed, and he saw it and he fought it before.
Like, back in the 70s, whenever this movie takes place. He's like, oh my god, what's that?
What is that power? I definitely didn't fight it before or anything.
That's like in, let's go way off topic. In Dragon's Dogma, you have these little AI buddies that follow you around, and they remark randomly everything that happens. Yeah. And every single time they see a skeleton, they're like, what the fuck? Bones! There's just bones that are moving on their own! What the fuck is this? It's hilarious. It's hilarious.
Erasing that part of their memory every time because it's too traumatic.
Yeah, it's so traumatic. They're blocking it. Yeah. That must be
skeletons are scary.
You know what? Yeah. They're pretty freaky.
They're spooky.
Okay. Another thing. So for Super Superhero Wars, they just released a list of some other actors that are returning.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have is Zolda's coming back.
Told you.
You told me. I cut it out of a podcast because I didn't have a source. But
you cut it out!
You told me, and I could not find a proper source, so I was like, I gotta get rid of this.
I don't listen to this podcast, so I don't know what you cut out and don't.
So here's the first official announcement. Zolda's coming back, and we know. You heard it here first, except you heard it a week ago on the Tokusatsu Network. So.
Yeah, thanks for cutting that out, Liam. We could have been the first one to fucking report on it, but...
We could have broke the story, but no, sorry. Momotaros is coming back.
Yeah.
The Blue Ninja is coming back. A fan favorite, Blue Ninja.
Yeah, everybody loved that guy.
Beat Buster from Go Busters is coming back.
That's cool. I never saw him, but sounds cool.
And the requisite Kyoryuger is coming back. They got Kyoryu Gold this time.
Oh, it's usually King
that
get back every time.
No King. He's busy. I don't know. It's not like he needs any other Rangers anyway. He's just doing his own thing. So they brought back Kyoryu Gold for this movie. Face actors, I mean, are all coming back for all these characters.
Well, except Momotaros.
Except Momotaros, but like, it's him. It's not some faker.
Man.
Yeah. That's cool. That's two Ryuki writers coming back for X-Aid things. That's funny.
Well, all the actors in X-Aid said that Ryuki's their favorite, didn't they?
The two main ones said Ryuki was their favorite.
So I don't remember.
That's all of them. I don't remember even if Snipe said he had a favorite. I don't remember. I saw...
Favorite's Ghost.
Oh, great. Cool. Great taste he's got. When I was watching Ryuki, I was watching the TV Nihon release, obviously, and it came with some extra stuff, including some commercials that starred the actors, and one of them was a commercial for a phone starring Zolda's actor, where he dresses up like a sexy Spanish salsa dancer and sings a song about how fast this phone will download your files. It's probably the best thing I've ever seen him in. Maybe Super Superhero Wars will dethrone that, but we'll see.
Are you gonna find that and put it in the blog post for people?
I have not found it anywhere other than that TV Nihon release. So if you want to see it, you're gonna have to go to TV Nihon, download Ryuki, and get those commercials. It's got that, and it's also got a commercial where Knight is. I think I've mentioned it before. Knight does a commercial about, it's just a PSA about being nice to people around you. But of all the riders they could have picked, they chose Knight.
Who is the biggest dick.
The biggest dick.
Jeez. I still find that hilarious to this day.
It's really good.
It's not Shinji.
No, not Shinji.
It's Knight.
Not Tezuka. It's Knight.
Jesus.
Some ad executive is snickering to himself softly.
Yeah, ad executives love watching children's programming.
Of course, of course.
Do you have any more news?
Yes. Hang on.
I heard the click.
I forgot all of it. I have to have a docket. So this week was Oscars week.
Oh.
And if you remember, the Oscars didn't go very smoothly.
I don't want to hear about the fucking Oscars.
Well, that's the only thing I'm going to say about it. Because in Japan, they have an Action Awards. They have their own little award show called the Action Awards, specifically for action-adventure shows and stuff, movies and such. And Kamen Rider Amazon's got nominated for a shitload of awards. Best Action, Best Action Scene, Best Action Directing.
Did it win any of them?
What?
Did it win any of them?
I don't think the award show has been held at the time of this written article. But it is being nominated.
Well, that's nice.
In addition to all that other shit, the Knife Girl, Nozomi, mm-hmm. got nominated for Best Action Actress. So
that's cool.
Watch out for that. She's the star of the show.
Being nominated is an honor.
It's an honor.
Do you know what movie was nominated for an Oscar?
Which?
Norbit.
Norbit?
Starring Eddie Murphy.
Did Norbit get nominated for an Oscar?
It got nominated.
Wait, was it like best set design or one of those meaningless ones?
It was best makeup.
Okay, that doesn't count.
Norbit!
Suicide Squad won best... Was it best makeup this year?
It won best makeup and people were fucking outraged.
Look, the Oscars...
Beyond didn't win. Star Trek Beyond.
Don't matter. The Oscars don't matter.
They really don't matter.
They're an industry awards show.
Like, you don't get money for it, and your movie doesn't get a sequel because of it.
It's just everyone
in
Hollywood
Dread.
Sitting around in a corner, patting themselves on the back, giving
each other
high fives.
Did Dread win an Oscar?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Fucking should've.
Should've won every Oscar.
Dread's the best.
Dread should've swept the Japanese Action Awards.
Are there any Japanese people in Dread?
No. As far as I know. None with speaking roles.
Well.
That's all I got for news.
It did not win.
It didn't win any?
It did not win a goddamn thing.
It was Mad Max Fury Road, but won a whole shitload of Oscars.
And it should have.
Yeah, Mad Max won a lot of stuff, but unfortunately that wasn't enough to fix not a lot of people going to see it.
Damn, it was so good.
It was so good. I saw it in theaters. I did my part.
Yeah, I did too. I saw it in theaters, and I went thinking, you know, this might be alright.
And then
the opening scene where he tries to escape from the fucking prison, the little, like, they hold him in the cell, and he, like, tries to escape while they're trying to... And I was like... And it gets to the Mad Max title, and I literally leaned over to my date and went, holy shit.
It's for me, it's tied with Road Warrior, I think. Yeah. They're both really good movies.
Man, I don't know which one I prefer, honestly.
It's really tough to pick one over the other.
That's neither here nor there.
That's neither here nor there. Jeff.
Yes.
Oh, hang on a second. I'm getting a phone call. What could that be? Whoa, Moshi Moshi.
I thought you were really getting a phone call.
No, it's a bit. Now you say...
Sayonara.
No, you say... This is why we should rehearse these things. Here I thought you might...
Moshi Moshi, it's Fize-kun.
It's... Yeah, okay, I'll take that. Fuck it. I don't know, I'll fix it in post.
Nobody even says Moshi Moshi on the fucking show. They all say, hi.
They should say Moshi Moshi.
They pick up the phone and go, hi.
It's tradition. You gotta say Moshi Moshi or else the fox demon will get you.
Yeah, the fucking sea demon will come and rip your lungs out or whatever.
Yeah, that's the legend.
I don't remember the actual legend.
There's a fox that travels through the phone lines and can trick you into thinking you're talking to your friends, but it can't say the word Moshi Moshi, so you pick up the phone and say Moshi Moshi to prove you're not a fox demon in the telephone lines.
There's a fucking, there's a nautical legend from England about the fucking telephone, about how, like, when you pick it up, you're not supposed to say hello, you're supposed to say ahoy hoy.
Ahoy hoy.
Yeah.
I think I've heard that one before.
That's according to The Simpsons, anyway.
Okay. Vast encyclopedia of human knowledge, The Simpsons.
Encyclopedia Simpsonomica.
Yeah, that's
so funny. On these episodes of Fize, our hero doesn't say anything to his friends that would absolve him of blame.
And Takumi plays along so well.
Yeah, a dude takes 100% advantage of it, and I can't even fucking blame him because it's right there.
In these episodes, Kaiza Kusaka really, really starts to ramp up. Like, it really becomes more obvious. It's more intense how much he hates everyone and how much he's tricking everyone. He ramps it up. He's like, oh, Fize, he hurt me in this fight that he made for no reason. And then Fize is talking to him later. They're talking, and then the Keitaro and Mari come in, and they're like, what's going on, you guys? And Takumi's like, he just started punching me for no reason.
Kusaka says that.
Yeah, Kusaka says, Takumi started punching me for no reason. And they're like,
he's
Takumi.
Like, that's not what happened. And they're like, why do you hate him? And he's like, yeah, I fucking hate him, so what?
I love that. He doesn't for a second say, wait, you're being tricked, guys. Just, he's an asshole, truly. He's just like, you know,
100% like, yeah, I do hate him. What are you gonna fucking do about it, bitch?
I don't like him. I don't like his face. I'm not gonna tell you why, because I got no reason. And then he runs out and slams the door. Takumi, come on!
I love that Kusaka is like, I'm doing all this because you don't like me. That's it. That's my whole motivation.
Right, yeah, all he said is, I want to replace you. I want to be the writer. And I'm in love with Mari. Probably.
Probably.
But probably. He pretends to be your boyfriend.
I'm getting a little rapey.
Getting a little rapey. More than a little if you read the novelization.
Oh, ho, ho.
So he's basically trying to muscle in on Takumi's life and become Takumi. And then in the third episode,
he wants Takumi to move out real bad.
Yeah, he wants Takumi to find his own place.
But then Kusaka gets stopped on the way to a fight by the people from the bus. The people who were in the school that they were in.
I don't know what the fuck to call them. I don't know, the school gang.
Yeah, and they're like,
the Russian roulette
crew. Kusaka, come with us. Apparently, we're just not going to tell you why, but you come with us anyway, and we tell you on the way to the thing we're taking you to. Because they're on the road later. Like, they have to have pulled up and been like, Kusaka, come with us. And he was like, alright, I guess I'm not going anywhere or anything. I'm definitely not going to save somebody from a fucking monster that I said I love, but let's drive. And then 2 hours later, the girl's like, Kusaka, did you know about the third belt? And he's like, third belt?
The best part is he's not even asking questions. They're just like, hey, drive to rural Shimane with us, and we'll drive for 500 miles. And then, like, they're on the highway, and she's like, oh, I should probably tell this fucking guy why we're going so far.
Yeah, he's just... I guess he just really wants to be liked.
Maybe he just likes girls a lot. It is a girl, the ropesman.
He doesn't give a shit about her. She doesn't look like a potato. He only likes potato women.
Are you telling me that Mari looks like a potato?
In this show, yes.
She's got a round face, but she's cute.
She looks far better when she gets older. But right now, she looks like a potato.
I'm going to disagree.
She looks like Miles Edward O'Brien's niece.
Or his half Japanese niece.
Well, he does marry a Japanese woman, so it could be like their daughter grows up to be Mari.
Oh yeah, that's
my headcanon now. Fucking Chief O'Brien from Star Trek traveled back in time and sired Mari.
Oh, of course. It's the only explanation, really.
That's the real truth.
That's why she doesn't have a real dad. Bam!
Uh-oh!
Holy shit, we figured the whole show out.
Holy shit, the connections between Kamen Rider and Star Trek go so fucking deep.
I'm starting to see why people don't like this show.
Yeah.
It's just... Every time there's a scene with Takumi and the gang, Takumi, why you doing it? I'm not gonna tell you. And he leaves. Why not, Takumi? I'm not gonna tell you. And he leaves. Like you said, it's like you said, there's this huge conflict that he can resolve by talking two lines,
yeah,
but he's like,
yeah,
I don't wanna.
Piss poor writing in the business. If your problem can be solved in a single sentence, and no one says that sentence, you have created a poor plot.
I think, here's my theory, right? Fize is a dick. Takumi, I mean, is a dick.
Yes.
He was a dick from the start.
Yes.
Especially to Mari and Keitaro. So what I think is this other guy is coming and winning their affections, and if Fize tries to tell them, no, this guy's an asshole, I think they'll be more... He figures at least they'll be more inclined to believe Kusaka, who is really nice.
What a bunch of bullshit.
No, I
the
think
way,
that...
The way writing should work is that that should be more that explicit,
should,
or
that
he should
be clear.
Say something at once and then be rebuked.
Yes, that like I said last week, that scene should happen, that scene that gives him a reason not to say anything, but it doesn't happen. Instead, I mean, just have to sort of infer it as an audience.
It's annoying that Osada keeps following Kaido around, being like, Kaido-san, constantly and shit. And he's like, why are you following me, you dumb bitch? And she never says anything about it. But she literally tells him that she's in love with him once. And he says, you know, fuck off, I don't like you. And then she doesn't anymore. And that makes perfect sense.
Well, hang on, Jeff. When she says she loves him, that's a lie. She doesn't want him to run off and hurt himself and get himself killed running around orphanocking, so
no.
She tells him she loves him to get him to stay.
No, she actually loves him. Do you not notice that she's, like, fucking all about him and only ever talks about him and seems super worried about how he feels all the time?
What about Keitaro?
She didn't give a shit about Keitaro anymore. When's the last time she texted that bastard?
That's true. They're hanging out in person now. They've taken it to the next level.
She cares more about your boy Takumi.
Yeah, it's true. This girl cares about everyone except for her boyfriend.
Yeah. She cares about everyone except random strangers who she murders over and over again.
Who she has, yeah. She's like, this girl is like a bad guy magnet. She's like a RoboCop character. Every evil dude gravitates towards her. Except instead of RoboCop killing them, she kills them.
She's like a RoboCop.
Was she a crane? She's like a crane cop.
She's crane, yeah.
Except without all the rules.
I find it difficult to believe her when she's like, I want to be a normal human. Because, like, you keep fucking murdering people,
she has
lady.
Killed more people than probably any other orphanok on this show.
Yeah. Put together, I'd say. It's probably a real close tally between how many people have been killed by Orphanox and how many people she has killed herself.
And there's like, at first it makes sense, right? They turn into Orphanox, Yuji Kiba sort of loses it, kills a couple people, and then says, whoa, wait a minute, I gotta slow down, this is awful. She does the same thing, but then she keeps bumping into people who, I guess they're bad guys, like, they're not innocents, they're always, like, criminals. They're dicks.
Yeah, that doesn't give you the right to murder them.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's she doesn't, like, seek out innocent people. They just find her. All these assholes just find her, and she kills them brutally.
There are, like, a lot of rapists who keep coming up
after.
So
many. In broad daylight, in public places, too.
Yeah, they're just like, hey, you want to come and play with us?
It's like, these guys are coming out.
She's like, no thanks. and they're like, well, we're not really asking.
They cut, like, the broad daylight, you're with their crew, and they're like, you know, this is risky, but I'm gonna fucking try it, why not?
She kills them, and I don't really feel bad that they're dead, you know, whatever. But it casts a somewhat poor light on her, and her journey to not be a murderous orphanok.
Well, if that was, that's another thing, if you had a scene addressing that, she could say, God, I just want to be a normal person, but I can't stop killing, that might be interesting, but...
It's fairly implicit. I would say Fize does a good job at showing implicitly that Orphanox have a drive to kill that they can't suppress sometimes.
Yeah.
Because it happens to Kiba as well.
Yeah.
So that makes sense to me. Not telling your friends that this dude is pulling a fast one. At least trying. That's a little bit hard to swallow.
Yeah. There's an interesting subplot in these three episodes where Kiba's girlfriend, Chie, her older brother is a cop, and he's investigating her death.
Is he a cop?
He's a detective, I think.
No, I thought he was just... He kept going to the, like, police precinct and asking about it.
Is it?
Yeah, I don't think he's a cop.
I don't know. He's investigating her death, and he asks Yuji Kiba to help him. And so he's getting involved in the plot.
If you forgot, Yuji Kiba is the one who killed Chie.
He put a sword right in her heart. So he's like, no, I can't help.
Yeah, maybe you shouldn't go after him. Maybe he's a nice guy.
He's probably gone. He's probably in Canada or something by now. Just don't bother.
Just you know, drop it. Just have a nice life, you know?
So I'm interested in that. The last episode is all about a little girl. This is very new writer. A little girl shows up and she's being chased by a clown Orphanok.
Boy, is this little girl annoying as fuck.
Yeah, she outsmarts all the adults just like you're watching a kid's movie.
And it's like, Keitaro's an idiot, I get it, or whatever, and he's a doormat, but that gets real tiresome to watch. After, like, I feel like after she did the idol thing, that should have been it.
The idol thing made me laugh, and then it was too far after that.
Keitaro, she has some hatred of laundry that I guess we're going to learn about in the next episode.
I don't know. I'm sure her dad was always neglecting her to do laundry or something.
The episode ends with Kiba jumping out, and Kiba and Mushroom Man start fighting Fize at the same time.
Yes, the clown gets away. Or at least he survives to the end of the episode.
Yeah. So I really hope that he gets away from this fight, and then we learn why he's targeting this little girl. And why she's
not dumb.
Is. She's also, like, part of the group of children that Mari's dad took in, or whatever.
It's
the new group of children.
Yeah, the new group. It's like all these kids that nearly died, and the new evil CEO of Smart Brain is looking them up.
Also, do you remember that there's, like, an underground school that, like, two workers are trapped in?
I wonder if they're still there.
A while ago?
They did that in one episode, and then, like, 10 episodes later, they showed them there. They're like, God, fuck, it's hot down here. And then that's it. I'm really wondering where the hell that's going.
That's a slow-ass burn, isn't it?
What I didn't like about this episode, apart from the misunderstandings, is with Keitaro, I like his character. He grew on me, and like you said, I like his whole doormat personality.
Yeah, he's alright.
But if you throw him into, like, a super unrealistic situation like that, it's like flanderizing him. He becomes so ridiculously doormatty that it starts being annoying.
Like, I want him to stand up for himself. It gets annoying. Like, if he's being a doormat to his friends or to a single character for a single scene,
that's
one thing.
Character.
But if he's being a doormat to a character who just continually makes the situation worse, and in a way that isn't, like, comedic, past that, like, idol thing, there's no comedy to it anymore.
Yeah.
You just feel sorry for him, and it makes that whole episode somewhat frustrating.
Yeah.
Like, get on with it already. I get it. He's a doormat.
It's a shame. It's a shame. I still like the show, but yeah, it's starting to drop off a little.
Yeah, my enjoyment of the show peaked a couple episodes ago, and it's, like, going down again.
Oh, no.
Maybe I'll skip another week.
You better not.
Or what, bitch? What are you gonna do about it?
Or you're gonna have to watch 6 next week.
Maybe I'll just watch 0 forever.
Maybe. I don't want to do Moshi Moshi Fies alone. We started this journey together.
Alright, I'll stick to it. Like we've said, that joke's only funny once.
It's true.
Unless you keep saying the joke's only funny once for a long period of time and then do it again.
That's okay. Well, let's hope that period lasts longer than Moshi Moshi Fies. Sayonara, Fies. It's great talking to you. Call me again next week.
Yeah, whatever.
Click.
I slammed the phone down.
Why?
Fuck you, Fies.
It's so rude. That's why Mari and Keitaro hate you so much.
Takumi, you asshole. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about Q-Ranger.
So we kind of Q-Ranger and Orange Ranger shows up in this fight. Okay, so what do we got in the mailbag?
He's a meanie pants.
He's big meanie. He's so mean.
I am seriously thinking about maybe dropping this show.
This was going to be the show's saving grace for me. Like, okay, here's my thing. A big edgy
and
dick.
Edgelord showed up.
Edgelord showed up, and gosh, did they make a boring episode about it.
Yeah, it was very boring. Also, isn't Hibitsukai Silver supposed to be emotionless? He's the most emotional character on the show.
That's what I was saying last episode. He starts getting emotions. Okay, it's the beginning of a long arc. I get it. But then now he's just throwing them out left, right, and center. I get it, he's pretending for some of them, like he's putting it on. But it's sort of like, it's his whole character now as he throws these fake emotions out. And he's always constantly...
He's a joke character.
He's a joke.
And I mean, maybe it's just whiplash because that's not what I was expecting.
Yeah, that's true.
And that might be why I'm having such a problem with it. But like, I had this idea that if he didn't have emotions, he would be like a Spock.
Yeah, that's what you were saying.
If he wanted emotions, he would be like a Data. And those characters are great. Hibitsu Kai Silver is pretty lame.
He's a stooge.
I don't have an opinion one way or another of him.
And Scorpio Orange is his name?
Sessori Orange.
Sessori. His name's Clipper or whatever. Stinger.
Clipper.
I like Clipper more.
He's Clipper from now on.
Clipper. And he there's a big fight and he... This is the fucking... I hate this. So Champ... Champ's like... That's the guy that killed my master. And it shows a flashback, of course, of the master's dead, and Clipper just happens to be standing over his body, and Champ sees this and says, "You must have killed him." And Clipper says,
I will neither. I'll say this.
Okay.
In Champ's flashback, Clipper has just stabbed his fucking tail into the guy. Like, it shows his body on the ground and the tail, like, leaving his body. So it's a little fucking open and shut here about who killed this man.
It's just, I'm so tired of this thing in, not just in...
The mistaken identity murderer shit, yeah.
And it always goes the same way. There's a dead body, and someone walks up to the dead body and goes, "Oh my god, it's dead!" And then someone else sees and goes, you're standing close to this dead body, you must have killed it.
You mean, Kamen Rider the First?
Whoa, I'm not gonna explain myself. Yeah, it happens in Akito, too.
Yeah, it's really
probably
dumb.
Countless other shows that
it's
I'm
really
forgetting.
Really dumb.
It's just that, it sometimes creates good drama. I'll put up with it if it creates good drama, but it doesn't create good drama in Super Sentai Q-Ranger.
You know what's the dumbest part?
What?
Is that, Lucky just says, "I know it's not him, I have a feeling," and Champ's like, "Well, how do you know?" And he's like, "I just know," and he's like, "Alright.
Yeah, I'll believe you. I'll ignore all prior evidence."
Why? Why, Q-Ranger?
Why? That's what the final... Because
he's
the
lucky.
Final, that's what the ED should be. Instead of saying, "Oh, Q-Ranger," it should be, "Why, Q-Ranger? Why did you do all this shit in this episode?"
How many times did Lucky say Yosha Lucky in this one?
At least four. I should start keeping a count.
It has to be six.
It's six?
It has to be at least six.
You heard six?
Yes.
Okay, I'll believe you.
And that is far too many times to say a catchphrase. It reminds me, fucking maybe Hudson Soft? I forget. Interplay? Who made Bubsy? Anyway, they made a Bubsy cartoon.
It was not Interplay.
They made a Bubsy cartoon.
I know what
you're
talking about.
And Bubsy says, "What could possibly go wrong?"
Yeah.
Our friend Matt, I think he counted 26 times in 20 minutes.
Holy shit. I remember seeing the first part of the first episode. There's the intro sequence, and at the end of the theme song, he says, "What could possibly go wrong?" And then it says, "We'll be right back. What could possibly go wrong?" And then it comes back and says, "Episode 1, what could possibly go wrong?" And I was like, "I'm not watching this TV show anymore. I've seen enough. I've seen all I need to see." That's Lucky.
That is the rest of the show, too. He says, "What could possibly go wrong?" at the end of, like, every other sentence.
Holy shit.
And Lucky says, "Yosha Lucky," at the end of every other sentence.
Why are there catchphrases in every modern toku show? Right?
Why is that necessary?
I don't know. Like, Georgia had a catchphrase, but they say it. They utter this phrase once an episode at most. Don't mess with this planet. It doesn't sound dumb. It's a fight. It's a fight cry. I get it.
Yeah, it's an actual fight cry is the thing as well. It's not like, "What fucking Alan's? Listen to the sound of
listen
my
to
Kokoro."
The sound. It's like something someone might realistically say to an alien if they're about to fight an alien. "Don't mess with Earth. I'm gonna kick your ass."
Fucking welcome to Earth.
Welcome to Earth. Even X-Aid has some that aren't really used that way. X-Aid's got, "I'll change etc.'s fate with my own hands, and to your existence I say no thank you."
Yeah.
They sound kind of dumb.
He literally says, "No thank you."
No thank you, da.
That's dumb, but like dumb. I'll clear this with no continues. Is it fits at least?
That fits. I'm fine with that. I'll clear with no continues. I like the sound of it.
Yeah.
Yoshinoki is just annoying.
Why do they have to have catchphrases?
I don't know. Ghosts were the most obnoxious,
like,
for sure.
The weird thing is, like, Drive was supposed to have a catchphrase, but he said it so, like, sparsely.
And that one was cool, too. I'm Kamen Rider Drive and I'm taking you along for the ride. That was the coolest fucking catchphrase.
I'm gonna take you along for the ride. I'm gonna take you for a ride.
It reminds me, you know what this reminds me of with the ninja? The Red Ninja had, he said, I'm getting really fired up, but the actor didn't know how to deliver it, so he'd be like, this is exciting, I'm getting really fired up.
It's exactly like that.
And they go, like, zero excitement, zero emotion.
It's funny that, like, Champ is supposed to be a robot, but Lucky seems more robotic in the way he moves and acts.
Yeah, it's almost like he is a bad actor.
Almost.
Almost. Couldn't be.
I don't like this show. I'm sure a lot of our viewers do, but I'm not a big fan.
I can see what someone might like about it. Like I said, I like the alien locales. The action is kind of... I like the Constellation Blaster. It's cool. I figured out this week, there's a pun involved. When they use it, it says, say the change. But the English is Seiza, and Seiza means constellation. It's the Seiza blast, so that's why it says say the change, say the docking, because it's Seiza constellation.
That's cute.
Isn't that smart?
Did you know that Q means 9?
Yeah, I do know that.
Isn't that cute?
It's very cute.
I'm not a...
OQ. OQ Ranger. Do you like the captain, the general?
Maybe a little.
Maybe a little?
I like that he just doesn't seem to give a shit about anything like that's happening around him.
He has an irreverent attitude that's charming. I like the whole leader thing. It's a holdover from back when Sentais were, like, fucking government secret agents.
They had to have, like,
spies.
A chief. Like, it's Vulcan.
You gotta have a commanding officer if you're a government agent, yeah.
This guy reminds me of, like, General Pepper from Star Fox.
Yeah, kinda. The weird animal man. I get ya.
Good luck. He said, good luck! Oh, shit!
Oh, my God! He says, OQ.
No, General Pepper said, good luck.
Oh.
And that's the fucking catchphrase, right? Good luck.
Oh, my God!
It all connects!
All the pieces are falling together.
Maybe Star Fox takes place in the fucking galaxy that the Wolfman's from.
Please don't ruin this for me. Don't ruin Star Fox.
I'm not really like a Q-Ranger, man.
Me neither. I'm not feeling it.
Like you said, I understand why someone would, but I don't think it's for me.
So, yeah, same feelings I had about Ninja and Tokuger. Like, it's okay. It's a Sentai show. I'm not enthusiastic at all.
I want to give Tokuger another chance.
I hear it ends awesome, and it's written by my fucking waifu, Yasuko Kobayashi, so I don't want to believe it's bad, but...
And our friend Max, friend of the show Max, is, like, obsessed with Tokuger now. He's, like, dumping all of his money into buying Tokuger stuff.
Really? He's got the trains?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
That is... So maybe I should give it another chance.
Maybe
we'll pick it up. Put this one down.
Stay tuned.
So enough about that. Talk about some emails?
Sure, open up the mailbag, Jeff.
Some old emails.
Let's hear it.
Our first email is from Zolgheim.
Hey.
And he says, so what are you guys going to do if it turns out that Q-Ranger is Yosha Lucky? I mean, shit.
I get those two phrases confused a lot. Because I say shit every time I hear Yosha Lucky.
Shit. Just drop it and leave a gap in your programming, or replace it with some older Sentai both of you haven't watched yet and do another Moshi Moshi Fies kind of thing. Maybe with less episodes per week so it's less of a burden.
Well, like we said last week, if we drop it, Moshi Moshi Fies fills the gap. Like,
yeah. We're having trouble, like, fitting this show into, like, an hour and 15 now because of Moshi Moshi Fies.
Yeah, but I don't want to drop Moshi Moshi Fies because I love Fies.
Yeah.
And I don't love Q-Ranger.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what's going to happen? I'm going to throw this out, Jeff.
Okay.
Let me tell me if you agree.
Okay.
If Q-Ranger sucks, we'll drop Q-Ranger. And then when Fies is done, maybe we'll pick up another show. Maybe yeah. a Sentai, maybe a Rider.
Yeah, I'm fine with
we'll
that.
We'll see. We'll see. Keep you guessing.
There's still a few series that, like, neither of us have watched in
Kamen Rider. I want to see Hibiki.
Yeah, I haven't seen Hibiki either.
Yeah, I want to see Hibiki or Deno. I want to see why the hell Deno is so popular.
I've seen a lot of Deno, so...
All I remember is at the end of Kabuto, there was a preview for Deno, and Deno says, I hope you're ready, because it's a climax as soon as I start. And I was like, well, that's... I bet Deno's a hit with the ladies.
That's the exact opposite of what ladies want.
Sarcasm.
Also, speaking of which, fun fact, the child actress that plays Kid Mari in Fize is Aoyuki, who went on to be the voice actress for the puppet ghost thing in Ghost that was a cat.
Oh, that's awful.
And Madoka in pretty much one-third of every anime lately. And she hasn't grown a single inch since then.
That's funny.
I like her. Shame she's only had to be in bad Kamen Riders.
But Fize is amazing.
Her character in Symphogear is infinitely more worthy of being a rider than Takeru could ever dream to be. I don't know what that is.
I've heard the word Symphogear, but I have no clue. I thought it was an anime.
I thought it was a video game.
Maybe it's an anime that was made out of a video game or vice versa.
Maybe.
Maybe.
It might just be.
Someone write in. What is Symphogear?
Don't answer that.
I don't feel like Googling it.
Our next email is from Knight Paradox.
Okay.
Probably not his real name.
You never know. You can go to a courthouse and get that shit changed if you want.
Liam, if you could have one rider that comes after Fize be in the last couple episodes of Fize and be crucial to the plot, who would it be? For example, let's say I have O's in the finale of Fize, and it turns out Orphanox were created by the first O's, the king.
Oh. That's interesting. Shit.
That is an interesting question. It's only for you, though.
Mm-hmm, because I don't know what the fuck is happening in Fize. I don't know where Orphanox come from.
Mm.
If Orphanox were some kind of Agito corruption, I think that'd be interesting, because the way they sell them, at least, I don't know their origins, but the way they sell them is that there's some new evolution of humanity that people are randomly turning into, kind of like Agito. If they were some sort of corrupt Agito. That is to say, if it's not, if it turns out that there's some sort of, like, infection that Smart Brain is giving people, which it seems like that could be it too, I would love if Great Leader was behind it, and if Rider 1 showed up.
Wouldn't that just be great in every series if Great Leader was behind it?
Like, the fucking fire that destroyed Kenzaki Shiro's house, it was like Great Leader throwing the match.
He's out there with like a fucking can of gasoline pouring it around the house.
Yeah, this will fuck him up.
Fucking KKK hood.
It's ridiculous, like crimson. Oh, God.
Second question. Jeff, if you could have one Gashat be used as a level 3 Gashat, what would it be? Oh, God.
Oh, to see like, Tattle Quest on top of another form.
Yeah. Oh, God, this is a tough one. I feel like it would be hilarious to see, like, Bang Bang Shooting being applied to, like, a platformer game.
Oh.
Or an RPG.
You'd get, like, a Contra thing if it was a platformer.
Yeah, and if it was an RPG, you get, like, a Fallout Vats kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think that would be neat.
That's cool.
Alternatively, Dangerous Zombie. To see, like, a monster version of each person.
Oh, yeah. I wonder if the sounds are even in that, Gashat. I wouldn't be surprised if they were.
I think they are, because somebody mentioned there being, like, Juju Burger that they were messing around with.
Yeah, Juju.
In the Buggle Driver.
It was like, Burger Genocide. Yeah, that was the one that Tomas was telling us about.
Yeah. Also for Liam, if you could split the Knockout Fighter and Perfect Puzzle Gashat into two separate Gashats and give it to two riders, who would it be?
Oh, fuck.
These questions are not specific to one of us, but only one of us can answer.
Riders in the show or riders?
Yeah.
Like in X8?
It doesn't specify.
Oh.
It says if you could give it to two riders.
I'd give Knockout Fighter to poor Ryuki because he's so weak.
True.
And I'd give Perfect Puzzle to Gold Drive, because that seems like the kind of conniving shit he would use.
See, I was thinking Perfect Puzzle could go to your fucking boy Tendo.
Oh, because he's such a like puzzle master?
It seems like something he'd be into. He's so smart. Wouldn't even have to move much to fight.
He already barely moves when he fights.
Also, don't worry about Lucky always saying Lucky all the time. It's just first episode syndrome. They only last for a couple of episodes before disappearing. For example, XA doesn't use level 1 anymore. Wizard's plot left after Phoenix died. Oh. And O's can now spam combos without getting hurt. See ya.
Also, I hope you're right.
Pelvic thrust.
Pelvic. No! No Q Ranger ending.
Yeah.
Oh, Q Ranger.
It's weirdly, it gets stuck in your head even though you don't like it.
It does. It was stuck in my head at work today, practically all day.
Oh my god.
What kind of hell is that?
I had Dr. Dick stuck in my head today.
I don't even know what that is.
You do. It was on the autoplay in the old stream.
Dr. Dick.
Yeah, it was the animated thing with boobies in it.
Still don't remember.
It was, anyway. Our next email is from Adam, who says, "Hey Jeff with one F, and Liam spelled L-E-E-A-M.
Okay, I'll take that.
I am back with more questions and fun facts.
Oh, it's this guy.
One, what rider would you be if you could be a real-life superhero? All forms and weapons included.
Oh, God.
What rider would you be?
I know this is going to be a terrible answer, but if I could have those powers, I would want ghost powers. I want to transform into historical figures. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, and you could become intangible and invisible at will, so...
My real life has more of a plot than Ghost did, so I guarantee it'd be more interesting.
I am going to choose... I would want Gatak. I would want to be Gatak so that I could clock up.
Clock up is so cool.
And also because I would have scissors for weapons, which is real awesome. And shoulder cannons, so... Yeah. It's just a win all around. Not a question, but I suggest Geki Ranger or Gal Ranger for the next show.
I don't like the Geki Ranger suits, but that probably means it's an amazing show.
Yeah, it's what we've learned recently. That fucking Toei inverse suit principle is working overtime these days. Fun fact number one. Sho Ranbo is voiced by the same guy who voices Rohan in the JoJo games.
Oh, really? Only the games, eh?
The Super Mooks in Q Ranger are based on the Flatwoods Monster. And
oh, shit.
Do you know the Flatwoods Monster?
I know the Flatwoods Monster, yeah.
That's a... For people who don't know, the Flatwoods Monster is a legend from West Virginia.
Yeah, rural, hick U.S.
Thanks.
It's got kind of a weird-looking hat.
I was born in West Virginia. Thanks.
Yeah, I know.
You piece of shit.
That's why I chose my words very carefully.
He's also like the legend is an alien crash fucking landed in Flatwoods, and people went out to see where all the smoke and stuff was coming from, and this horrible giant abomination walked out of the wreckage and started screaming at them.
Yeah,
with fiery red eyes, and they all ran for the fucking hills, and when they brought police back, nothing was there.
They're in a quote-unquote... There is a quote-unquote photo out there you can look at, or like a picture of it. Yeah, it's pretty unsettling.
It is. It's not a real photo. It's an illustration someone made superimposed over a photo of a forest.
Yeah, that's it. But, funny enough, the ghosts from Majora's Mask that attack the ranch, also based on the Flatwoods Monster.
That's really strange that like anything from West Virginia is known in Japan. But yeah, apparently the Flatwoods Monster is fairly popular there.
Every time you have to make an alien ghost, it always goes to the Flatwood Monster.
Signed, friend of the show, Adam. You can't call yourself that.
Well, I don't know. Let's meet up and have a few beers and we'll talk.
And he PS'd Yosha Lucky.
Yosha? Oh my god, Jeff and Liam read my email. Yosha Lucky!
Oh god.
The fuck out of here.
Other shows, he also sent another email directly after that.
Okay.
That said other shows you could watch next could be Dragon Knight or even, and then he put 1 million spaces.
Masked Rider. Yeah. I knew.
And he PS'd still Lucky.
I'd like to do something with Masked Rider. Maybe a commentary track for the first episode or something. Oh, I want to do something with it. I'm not going to watch the whole thing, that's for fucking sure.
We could do a special.
We could do a special. Maybe one week when there's no Rider and we don't feel like doing a spoiler cast. We'll do a Dragon Knight special.
Maybe. You don't. Have you ever seen Dragon Knight?
Yeah, I've seen. I haven't watched a huge chunk of it, but I've seen parts of it. I've seen a few episodes, and yeah,
have
it's
you
not
ever
good.
Seen Masked Rider?
I've also seen a couple episodes of Masked Rider scattered.
As long as we don't do Masked Rider, I'll be happy.
Masked Rider's worse, that's for sure.
It really is. Our next email is from James.
Okay.
Who says, insert phrase on how the podcast is still great here.
Thank you.
So you guys remember that kid in the last episode of Ghost who Jeff said was Takeru's son from the future? Well, that's exactly who he is, and he can turn into his own version of Ghost. What is this information from?
What? I didn't hear about this.
I didn't either.
Okay, well, I'll believe
first
you.
Question is for Liam.
Okay.
With Oja's face actor in Brave Special and Zolda's face actor returning for Superhero Wars and the Kamen Rider Sentai... Kamen Sentai Go Ranger.
Special. Go Rider?
Yeah, he says Go Ranger.
Oh, okay.
What other Ryuki riders would you want to come back since this year is Ryuki's 15th anniversary? That might answer your question about why they came back.
All of them.
That's it?
Okay, I can't... Well, okay, there's the obvious answer. I want Ren.
Yeah, of course.
The fact that he did something this year. He was in the news. They should pull him back. This is his year.
He probably has a real career going...
What does he do?
I don't know. Maybe he's a model.
Maybe he makes hats. I don't know.
Maybe he owns a haberdashery.
Maybe he has a grill. Outback Steakhouse.
Oh.
Kamen Rider Black.
When you said grill, I don't know why. My mind immediately pictured Ren with, like, fucking platinum teeth with diamonds in it.
That's what he's up to these days.
He's got a grill.
Kamen Rider Black owns a restaurant called Billy the Kid, like a Tex-Mex restaurant. So anything's possible.
That's fun.
That's what I want most. I want Knight, and I'm super happy that Oja and Zolda are back. I love them. I would love Shinji himself, too, but he's nowhere to be seen. I don't know, fuck any of them.
Maybe the actor's dead.
Maybe he died in a car crash, and I just never heard of it.
Oh, God. The rest is for both of you guys. Which level 50 form is better in design and abilities?
Oh, I like the design. Oh, God. I think Bang Bang Simulation I like a little more. It's just a little more interesting than summoning a
bunch
of monks.
Bang Bang Simulation is, like, far more understandable as a form. Like, you know what its powers are.
It's got a shitload of guns.
It seems like Tattle Fantasy has a different ability every 3 seconds.
Well, it summons minions.
He can also, like, send a black mist out that doesn't summon minions. He has telekinesis, he can fly, he can make shields.
Oh, he can
undo
power-ups.
He can
undo
people's power-ups.
Yeah.
He just has every power.
He's got it all. But can he stand up to guns?
I don't know, guns kill you.
You can actually, we'll never see that fight. It's both the same gachet.
Yeah.
Never know.
I'm probably going to have to agree. As much as I like Tattle Fantasy, and I think it looks cool, I think Tattle Quest base suit looks better.
Yeah, Tattle Quest is a sexy suit. And Bang Bang Simulation is just really cool looking. Honestly, it's hard to beat.
Yeah. Third, what gamer, a.k.a. the little robots the Riders combine with, is your guy's favorite?
Geki Totsu.
Mine too.
Yeah,
I like
a cute
the little Geki Totsu robot.
Cute little, reminds me of Robopon.
He's
like
so
Robopon.
Cute.
Yeah, it's a fun design.
James' favorite are Shakariki Gamer and Burger Gamer.
The burger one's funny.
Every other one is a robot or vehicle, but those two are just a BMX bike and a burger. And
I didn't
that.
Say Shakariki because I didn't think it counted. It was just a bike, but I do love Shakariki Sports.
Apparently, it counts.
Okay.
But, yeah, I still... Geki Totsu Robots is still my favorite.
It's really cool.
It's the only gachet that I have so far.
Oh, yeah. I got that for you.
Yeah, I appreciate that, buddy. I'm looking into getting more. I really want Mighty Action X or Mighty Brothers Double X. But I'm figuring Mighty Brothers is, like, a special thing. And you have to have the belt to get Mighty Action, so...
You could get the candy toy version.
I probably will.
I'm thinking of getting the Gashat Gear Dual Beta with the Bang Bang Simulation and the Tattle Fantasy.
That would be pretty fucking cool.
It's a cool Gashat. I like it. I'm turning it over in my mind.
Fourth, which level 3 designs do you guys like better, the regular versions or the Namco versions?
I didn't know what the fuck you're talking about for a second. Family Stadium looks better.
Yeah, I agree.
Gekitotsu Robots looks better between that one and Pac-Man, and I think Jet Combat looks better between that one and Xavius. But I think Family Stadium looks better than the...
I love Gekitotsu Robots, but I also really love the Pac-Man version of it, so that's really tough for me.
They're both just great-looking suits, honestly.
They are, but I agree that Jet Combat looks better than Xevious.
Yeah. Definitely Family Stadium, though, is.
Oh, yeah. He says that he's going to have to give it to the Namco versions, since the little changes they make mesh mostly well with their suits. And I never noticed until the episode, but X-Aid's yellow part of the visor has two little black dots, and if you look at him straight on, it looks like Pac-Man's face.
Does it? I didn't see that.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the actual episode yet, though, so...
So thanks for writing in, James. We have fucking Edgar up.
Okay, come on down.
He says, what's up, RCR? It's your boy Edgar.
Of course.
Oh, shit, son, it's Edgar.
Here he comes.
Seeing as Japan loves English with in their everything, what's your favorite English / stilted line in Toku? Personally, I'm quite fond of the GoBusters Let's Morphing, and Saiga's Taking Care of All of You is also part of my job. Which is perfect English. Answer. How's that English? The guy is like from Canada or something. He speaks perfect English.
It's not English, but my favorite is when Kabuto says stronger in that little special, little DVD special.
It's the little thing in the... It's at an end of an episode when he's talking about the stronger anniversary.
Yeah, he's stronger.
He says, Omaiwa stronger. Or he's like, Omaiwa stronger.
Yeah, his voice changes so fast. I like that. Omaiwa
strongest. God, that's so tough. I love Retz Henshin.
Retz Henshin, yeah. That's a good one.
I absolutely love that.
There's probably a hilarious one that we're both forgetting.
Yeah.
Like a really obvious one. It's killing me. I like the fucking Mr. Belt's exactly.
Exactly.
Or every time he says anything. Every time he says English. Because Chris Pepler also speaks really good English.
Yeah, but he's doing a really fake accent.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious.
I do
love Exactory.
Exactory.
It's not English, but I really do love Taking Care of All of You is also part of my job.
Just out of fucking nowhere, too. Saiga, what the fuck?
I love it. I'm probably just going to have to pick Chris Pepler saying exactly.
Yeah.
Because that cracks me up every time.
That's true.
That's
a good one.
There's probably one that's like 100% ridiculous.
If I remember it, I'll tweet it.
Yeah.
That's how it's going to be. I also really love Knockout Fighter. Like the whole jingle about Knockout Fighter.
Well, Knockout Fighter, like, is obviously done by a native English speaker.
Yeah, his accent is perfect.
Like, he's doing, like, almost like a New York accent, even. When he says that, he's like, Knockout Fighter!
When he announces the finisher, he's like, Kimei Waja! Like, it's like he's trying so hard not to sound Japanese.
Edgar also adds, also, I enjoy Fize all the way through, and have a Fize Gunpla. Fuck you, Jeff! Fight me in real life! Yeah, that's what I thought. Thanks for the podcast, Liam. Fuck Jeff.
Thank you. Peace.
Well.
How about that, Jeff? What are you going to do? He just dropped the mic on you.
Apparently I'm not going to do anything, according to the email itself. So, he's got me there. I mean, if you like Fize, that's cool.
Okay.
You're dumb, but I mean...
Well, okay. I think it's a good show.
You're going to change your mind. I can feel it. It's already happening.
We'll see.
It's already fucking happening, dog.
It's in the air.
Yeah, you can like shit if you want. That's cool. Our next email is from Jake.
Okay.
who says, "Hey, RCR, count me in with the people who thinks Genius Gamer M is the human and Polite Emu is the bugster. That sounds more fun to me. And if anything, I'd like the irony that the actual nice and good guy writer wasn't even a human and that all the human writers are dickholes."
That would be kind of funny, but I'm still Team Emu.
Questions. 1. Any theories on what Dastardly Dan's got planned with his level X bit at the end?
I think
Dastardly Dan the Game Man.
X-Aid is hitting... X-Aid's... This isn't a spoiler. X-Aid's mid-season upgrade is level 99. I think Dan is going to hit level 100 with that. Or level 150 or so. He's going to go higher than that. That's what I think.
I feel like they shouldn't have jumped around in numbers so fucking much.
Yeah, it was like, here's level 1, 2, 3, and then, oh, we'll skip 4 and go to 5, and we're gonna fuck you, 50.
It's like, it was like fucking 10, 20, 5, 30. 10, then it's fucking 50. I don't know. Maybe level X is like, I don't think he's going to be getting another suit anytime in the future, because he literally has the power to fucking resurrect himself at any time.
Well, he'll be getting,
I think he's just gonna get, like, he's gonna have the power to, like, become increasingly stronger over and over and over again.
Maybe. I don't mind that. I really like the Dangerous Zombie suit. Yeah. It's a great suit.
I miss that about Ryder, that you didn't have to get an upgrade to become stronger.
Yeah.
I miss that a lot.
See how that actually plays out.
There's a whole bit throughout Blade of Blade himself becoming stronger. He, like, gets his ass beat all the time, and he becomes stronger because he's learning how to use his powers.
Mm.
And he's gaining experience and knowledge. And then he just gets an upgrade anyway. But I miss that. I miss there being something more to getting stronger than just putting something else in your belt.
Yeah. That's not modern Ryder.
Question 2. What would be the best way to get started on JoJo's Bizarre Adventure? My friends are big fans of the series, but I don't know what's a good way to dive in with my free time being limited lately. One of the things I do know is that Joseph is an insanely cool dude. Thanks, and looking forward to the next episode as always. Jake the Snake. Didn't have a handle in mind before, but I like this one. Thanks.
Just start reading Phantom Blood, Chapter 1. Just go the whole way through.
Yeah, Phantom Blood has such a different tone to
Phantom
the rest
Blood
of JoJo.
Is fucking great.
I love it. I got no problem with it. I love it. But I will say that if you already like Joseph a lot, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if you just started on part 2.
I'm gonna disagree strongly. I'm gonna say do not skip part 1.
I'm not saying skip part 1 and never read it. I'm saying start on part 2, and if you really like it, then you can read part 1 or move to part 3, but don't ever not read part 1.
It's taking a hard line and saying start with part 1.
Wow, what an asshole.
You're not going to understand... Well, I guess you can understand part 2 without reading part 1.
Yeah,
part 1's really good.
Part 2 doesn't have jack shit to do with part 1. You can't understand part 3 without reading part 1.
I'll tell you right now, part 1 is a scene where a baby's face gets eaten. Don't definitely start with it.
Yeah... I guess that's true. It does have that.
You cannot
part
miss
one
that.
Has a scene where Jack the Ripper becomes a vampire.
He hides inside a horse and then bursts out and he's like, "Fuck you, let's fight." You can't miss that.
Part one is so good.
It's like my second favorite part after Steel Ball Run. It's so good.
Part two is my favorite part, with part four being a close second.
Well, those aren't bad choices.
You can jump in pretty much anywhere. The parts are mostly self-contained for the most part. Like, they have throwbacks or whatever, but they're mostly explained.
I can't recommend jumping in anywhere.
I
gotta say start with part one. It's just more coherent that way.
Contrary to that previous email, I'm not a giant asshole.
Well, we'll see.
Deserves to be told fuck you.
I think you are.
Thank you very much. I have feelings.
I haven't seen him yet.
But I'm just faking them like Hibitsu Kai Silver.
Yeah, there it is. That explains
just
it.
Just jump in, man. Just pick one.
Just do it. It's a lot of fun. You'll have a blast.
Oh, shit. Liam agreed with me. Can't fucking take it back now. No boxes.
Oh, no.
No boxes.
Oh, no. I'm done.
If you would like your email read on the air of our fine television program, tune in weeknights at 8 o'clock on Fox.
Yeah, right. We're not even good enough for public access radio.
That's true. Then you can send your emails to writerclubradio@gmail.com.
Or you can follow us on Twitter @writerclubradio, and both of those things don't have any spaces or caps or numbers, so they're really easy to remember.
Nope. And if you enjoy Star Trek, you can listen to the other podcast that I host, M-Class Podcast, which is available on iTunes, because I just fucking pay money to have it on a podcast service.
Don't do that.
Don't look at it. You love Star Trek, all of you. Don't pretend.
Don't look at M-Class Podcast.
Fucking Liam likes Star Trek. He mentioned shit he couldn't have known without watching it.
Do not. I picked up Data's emotion chip through cultural osmosis. I've never seen Star Trek.
Motherfucker loves Star Trek.
I do not like Star Trek.
His favorite character is Counselor Deanna Troi.
No, I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, you do. Don't fucking pretend. He loves Star Trek. But you can tune into that. And if not, go fuck yourself.
I guess, I don't know, it's up to you, I guess, if you want to be cool or not.
Yeah, you can listen to a cool podcast or you can fuck yourself. Those are your choices.
There you go. Choose wisely.
And thanks for tuning in, everybody. And we'll see you next week for the same exact program.
See you. Same writer time, same writer channel. Good night.
See ya.